Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. This week, you have your constant co-hosts, Chris and
Tyler, y'all.
This week, we're bringing on a fella I met a few months ago who's been making some amazing drinks and give me a little tipsy.
Nice. I'm that fella. Hi, I'm Daniel Clayton. I'm hailing from Richfield, North Carolina, originally. Lived in Wilmington for about 10 years, or no, 8 years now. Yeah. Getting ahead of myself. Currently working at Starling full time. Just got done helping open a bar called Cryptid. Really cool spot over there. It's over on the rear, well, on the riverfront. Rooster and Crow owners, but they're doing a little cocktail beer bar. But I just since left there because managing wasn't my thing, and I was ready to go full time with Starling.
So, yeah, sounds good.
So we're excited about doing that. That's how I met Chris. Actually, was at Starling. He's at the bar. We always have a joke. He's our Monday bartender. Yeah. We're also not open on Mondays.
No one's heard that joke.
We started shooting shits, and we came in for a video at Crypto one day, and we did a little sidecar videos. I think y'all saw that.
You know? Yeah, we posted that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So it's funny because I know and meet most people through Instagram. So when you actually introduce yourself with your official name, I was like, oh, so he's not Danny Phantom. Ah. Oh. I wish.
Give me those superpowers, please.
That'd be the funniest. I'm like, you know, that... We'll talk about that later. I'll bring up Danny Phantom again in regards to the bar. But before we go too deep into it, we are sipping on some whiskey this morning.
Yeah, we brought in Tarnished Truth from my travels up to Virginia Beach. And we are sipping on the High Rye Straight Bourbon Whiskey today, the single barrel. It's 3 years aged, and I will let Chris go more into the mash bill and taste.
So this one is supposedly a 40% mash bill, 30%, 36% rye, and 4% malted barley. So it's not going to be as harsh as like a higher rye percentage. That should have a little bit of butterscotch and maple syrup on the aroma. Mm-hmm. And then supposedly supposed to have some balanced flavors with some toasted oak, honey, vanilla, cloves, ripe figs. And because we're here to try silly stuff, we're going to try this straight up, taste it, see how we like it. And then we saw this thing on TikTok. So I bought like this little blender hand emulsifier. I don't know what they're called. And we're going to see if it actually makes a difference.
In the coffee world, we call them frothers.
Okay, thank you. Well, I know it from Max. Like he mixes his greens, which is what it'll be used for, like mixing my morning greens. But today it's for
whiskey.
Yeah.
All right, so let's taste it up
straight.
Traditional. Cheers.
Cheers.
I like that.
It's has a lot more flavor than I was expecting for a 3 year.
That's dessert.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's good. A little tingling on my tongue, too. Mm-hmm. Not like all over my mouth, which is cool.
Right.
Sometimes I like that, though.
I can definitely taste the honey on it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. They're making some pretty good stuff out of there for That's only good. Being a 5-year-old distillery.
Yeah. Because it looks like they opened in 2018.
Sounds right.
And supposedly Tyler got lost trying to find the place because it's not like a traditional distillery.
No.
Like up in the cut or in a normal building. It's in the basement of an old mansion, which is now, I guess, a hotel.
Yeah. We pulled up to it originally and it was in a gated community. And we're like, how in the hell do we get into this place? Like, where are we at? And then we went to another entrance and we show up at this mansion. And we're like, what is going on here? So we finally go in and we were told it's in the basement of a mansion.
Sounds like some secret society stuff.
Right, yeah. I was like, I don't know what's going on down here. But I was very impressed with it. Pretty neat. And we brought on Kaylee, who you know really well. And that as soon as I posted about it, she was like, hey, that was my old stomping grounds over there. So I was like, oh, no way. So you knew about the secret society.
Yeah.
She doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the coolest person in the world. Shout out, Kate.
Emulsifying things.
Frothing up some whiskey.
It's the first and only time I'll probably see anyone emulsify whiskey. Maybe I'll start doing it at the bar. Who knows?
Right, yeah. If this turns out good enough.
I think it's really interesting. I wonder if there's like a time, like since there is no dilution added to it, when you emulsifier that does, like, after a while just settle out again.
That's what I was wondering, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. You can definitely
smell it. This nose is different, yeah. These TikTok kids. Whoa. That's crazy.
I'm actually not sure if I like it or not yet. It's just very different.
Yeah. You don't get any of, like, those spices or... Mm-hmm. I'm getting vanilla a lot now.
Yeah.
That's a very vanilla.
It's extremely vanilla.
So maybe something
vanilla
that's,
forward.
Like, aged a little bit longer. Like
Sorry. That was impulsive. I'm see, you guys are about to get me a little drunk because I just had chia seed water this morning.
I didn't know you ate real food, to be completely honest.
I'm a rabbit.
So every time I see him at the bar, he has like this giant mason jar or something oversized full of chia seeds. I'm like, what are you drinking?
Tea and chia seeds. I blend my own tea and I put the chia seeds, mix them up, put them in the fridge, let them like gel up.
I have been obsessed with chia pudding lately, though.
It's so good for you.
Emily used to eat it for breakfast all the time. The problem is with a busy lifestyle, you have to like prep it the night before.
Plan.
And I'm like,
Kale Me Crazy has a really good chia pudding over there.
They do.
So when I'm just grabbing coffee, I'll grab that too for the morning.
That makes sense.
Yep. Well, enough about chia pudding.
Whiskey, sorry.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
What do you like to know?
So where is this town that you hail from? Because I ain't never heard of it.
So it's I basically have to go down the line of places that are close to us. So do you know where Salisbury is at?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, cool. Nice. First one's hit. Usually I have to go all the way to Charlotte. But yeah, so it's near like 15, 20 minutes, 20 more like 20 minutes from Salisbury. Like one stoplight town.
Mm-hmm. Is it
like my neighbor is a cow.
Like east of it.
East.
Oh, so it's closer to us than Charlotte.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sort of like right in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Between there. But yeah, like super tiny. It's really nice. Like growing up, I was like, I don't want to be here ever.
How close is it to Cleveland, North Carolina?
Cleveland, North Carolina?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, honestly. That doesn't ring a bell to me. So it's like kind of like probably not close.
No, Cleveland is more north.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you're like up in the mountains a little bit. Is what you're going for.
No,
like Glenville, kind of?
No, Cleveland. So, like, you'd have to hit Charlotte and then go northeast. He is east of Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like, before you even get there.
East.
We go to...
Outside of Statesville, I guess, is a better way of...
Oh, yeah. It's pretty close to Statesville. Yeah, like the... Okay. Have you been to the Southern Star Distillery out there?
No, I want to so Me bad, too. Though.
It's,
yeah.
It's so good. Their products are great. I got to go out there when I was working... That man, Fred, Fred Flynn, he was like having he was sick or something, and he and let me and Mason go up there. We were working there at the time, and we got to pick out the barrel or whatever that they did.
Sick.
Oh, so you helped
part of the downtown brown.
I hated the name. It was such a stupid name. It's like, I'm like, we got outvoted for that one, but
I mean, you're the youngins in the group.
Oh yeah, we were like babies in there. We're like, who let us come in here and drink whiskey all day? We had no idea what we were doing, but it was so much fun. But,
pick though.
Huh?
Yeah, the pick was good.
Yeah, the pick was great. Yeah, we went through like six or eight, but we ended up on that one. We were all agreed like this is the best one.
Yeah.
I'm bougie, and when they brought it in, like we had it on the podcast last year, like right when they picked it. And
right
I'm like,
when
this
it was coming out, yeah.
This is so good. So when my store had a whiskey event, which I hosted, I was like, guess what we're drinking? Some Southern Star, and then I went and got the barrel pick along with a few other ones. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, you got to support local. It was a good choice.
It is really good. I think Cryptid still has a bottle in there.
I don't know why.
Yeah, so if you want to try it again, it's over there.
They probably do.
I might pop in there this weekend and get some.
Right. It was very impressive, especially for a North Carolina whiskey. Mm-hmm. Usually the Carolinas aren't known for their, like, whiskey selections as a whole.
So from what I understand, from what they told me, and I did a little bit of research, apparently the Statesville area in North Carolina used to be like whiskey capital of the world. But push politics and prohibition, and like all those distillers went elsewhere, like Kentucky and stuff. But the weather, the water, the climate's perfect for it.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's cool they're bringing that back. They actually are releasing a series. They bought all the old families that were making whiskeys in that during that time, the mash bill, they bought the rice staff like stupid cheap. And so they're remaking all those and doing like special edition series. They're about to release, I think it's like a double rye or a high rye. One of the two. I can't remember. But it's really cool. Like the bottle caps, like it's pretty neat. Yeah. I highly recommend looking into it.
I'm going to end up with like a whole shelf in the house. It's all like, because you know, most of the time people are like, well, I have all these Blantons or I have all these E.H. Taylors. Like, I'm just going to have a whole thing of just, like, welcome to the Southern Star.
Right.
Just everything in there. On a different note, I definitely liked this better before I emulsified it.
I did too. I'm almost like getting like an oatmeal flavor on it now. Am I weird for that?
I haven't tried it since the first like two sips.
Maybe I'm just
so.
Oh, you know what? It smells a lot like it.
Yeah, I don't know if that like that came into the taste too.
So we're gonna advise.
Good morning.
if you're gonna try this, it definitely changes the flavor up. But I would suggest it on something that is older.
Yeah.
Because the flavors that you're tasting have settled a little bit more, so you're not getting all of them. So when you emulsify it, it brings in some more air, and you'll taste a lot more of the flavoring. But on a younger thing or a younger whiskey.
It's not good.
It hasn't set as long, so the flavors aren't as deep.
Right. I'd be interested in doing it with like the Kentucky Out Confiscated. Oh, like a much nicer, and then just seeing what happens.
Are you saying we should do that?
I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
I love Kentucky. So good.
All right, let's do it. Grab it, Chris.
All right, let's finish
this. It's pretty much a full bottle, so yeah. I'm not finishing that.
Yeah, well, these young ones, like, you don't, like, oh, this is a, what, 4 year you said? Yeah, you want to, like, mix with this probably. Yeah. I mean, it's good on its own, too. Don't get me wrong.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Yeah, so if you get this, do not emulsify it. Drink it on its own. It tastes significantly better.
We're just combining, so you don't...
Okay, thank you. I was going to say, I don't want to die.
No, I'm not that mean.
There you go.
We like alcohol, but we're not alcoholics.
Thank you. That glass stresses me out. I know. I can see why that bar got rid of so the bartender's probably just sweating. You know?
I have these drunken glasses, is what I'm going to call them. Do you want to rinse yours out? And so, like, you fill it up, and you set your drink down, and it'll float and toggle.
It'll we have a video around. If you want to show people.
So over here, instead of it sitting straight up, there's a little nipple on the bottom, so it'll rotate and spin around. And when we're not paying attention, you set it down, it just spins on you, and I'm just like freaking out for like half a second before I do it.
I'm going to call this the Humpty Dumpty glass.
Yeah.
All right. So
nice.
You moved here 18 years ago?
Not 18 years ago. Eight. So I lived in Richfield for like till I graduated. Then I went to East Carolina University for 2 years. And then I transferred out.
Another ECU guy.
Yeah, man. Crazy out there. Nah, it's nothing bad. School was great. Learned a lot. Teachers were amazing. Greenville's just kind of like the armpit of the state. There's nothing really there to do but party. Yep, now I'm a bartender. Wow.
Makes sense now. It all comes together.
Nah, it's just funny.
How did you get into bartending then?
Oh, man. So COVID, actually. Yeah, I was interested in it before, and I really like wanted to do it because I was like, oh, man, that's going to be good money. Right. Like, I can do that while I'm like in school or whatever. And so I was kind of like, I took like a bartending class in Raleigh, which is looking back now, so dumb on me. But like, I was like super ambitious about it. Like, man, this would be so cool.
There's some states you have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But here it's like, you don't obviously, and so I didn't do anything with it for like a year probably. And then I got a bartending job and I was like, all right, that's cool. And I did a couple of places. And then I was actually at the time also, I'd gotten my massage therapy license. I was doing that for about 2 years. Yeah. I was working with a chiropractor for a little bit and then for a while. And then COVID kind of like killed his business, at least to the point where he was still doing well, but it was like, wasn't the point where we could have like a whole like annex, cause he was like trying to do a whole extra thing for the massage therapy too. And then I'd gotten the job at Mana with Fred, and then he taught me everything. And then I just read a bunch, and then here I am.
We just poured Kentucky Ale now too. So that's so good.
Yeah. I know. I want to savor it.
I know. I'm like, I want to try this thing, but I don't.
So we bring
that's what I want.
There's always like a throwback. So for those who've listened for a while, Kentucky Owl was mentioned well over a year ago when we originally had Catherine on. Mm-hmm. And Tyler was like, hey, if I find a bottle of Kentucky Owl confiscated, you'll come back. And it took me like almost a full year to find another bottle.
Yeah. It's hard.
And then when Catherine came back, she wasn't drinking because she was doing the Live Hard program. So, yes. I mean, we get to benefit from it. So there.
That's why so one of the things I like going back home in Ritual is because the ABC is out there. People don't know what they're getting. So sometimes you can go out there and to find the stuff that you can never find here. Nice. I'm just like, yes. When I go back, I hope to go soon. Or maybe I can bring a cool bottle for you guys.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Yeah.
We shall see. That's what I do randomly now. Emily looks at me like I'm stupid when I will stop. Like, oh, there's a liquor store. And just pull over. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I want to see if they have something good.
It might be something in there. You find gems in those like weird South Carolina too. This is like right down the road for us. So
yeah, it's a normal stop for me. I'll go down, try to go to like a smaller town area, go to like a liquor store that no one's ever heard of.
Like, I know you have that like
right.
That Michter's 10 year. Let me know. Where is that?
I've really never had Michter's. It's been one of the brands that I like just avoided because I kept seeing so many ads for it.
You should try it. I really like to mix with it. The rye I like to mix a lot. I never really mess with the bourbon so much, but the Michter's 10-year rye is.
We have a rye back there from Michter's that we'll eventually try later on in the weeks. But yeah, I love mixing that too. It's my favorite.
It didn't really change the nose that much for me like it did the other one.
No, it didn't change it near as much. It makes it even easier to drink. But the flavors are all still there.
Yeah. But I kind of do like that though.
Yeah.
Because it's like I still get that straight pour flavor and I don't like have to dilute it.
Right.
But I still get the smoothness. It's cool.
But that's what I saw originally. It was like it's supposed to make it smoother and there's not as much bite, which is what you're typically getting when you just get the straight alcohol. But like it shouldn't.
This worked much better.
Because it's a little bit older.
That could definitely be it.
So now we learned.
Take that TikTok.
Right.
Just elevated your shit. That is good.
All right. So
thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So you worked at Mana.
I did. Yeah.
And then did you just split shifts between there and Earnest Money? Earnest Sons.
Yeah.
What's the name of that bar?
Earnest Money and Sons. Okay. Yeah. It's like a membership bar. Oh, super cool. Matt Brinker's doing the program over there now. I think Fred's doing the Greenville Yacht Club. Which is over there. Right, yeah, it's a super cool place. It's sick. You should go check it out. Especially if you're going to that Greenfield Amphitheater. A great spot to go before and after, I'm just saying. But yeah, they got a cool spot going on over there. Yeah. Matt's doing the whole program between both now. And then Fred's like full-time with the yacht club, from what I understand.
Sick.
And then
they do some cool stuff.
We acquired Danny in the cargo district.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be there.
It's so fun.
It's like the spot for me right now. I'm like when I went full time with them now, it's kind of like that was the goal to begin with. I'm like, it's like it feels like things are moving along, you know, which is good. It's a good feeling.
I love this guy. So like I saw him show up at the bar and I'm like, I know how particular Kaylee is, like in general, like looking across her staff, like her bartenders all have amazing experience and know what they're doing. So, of course, I had to look Danny up, and I was, like, looking at these videos on Instagram. I was like, ooh, he's making some good stuff.
I tried to. I need to post more. It's just, Instagram just sucks me in.
It sucks you in. And then you don't get enough likes, and you're frustrated, and you're like, well, why did I waste my time doing that?
Well, the thing is, like, it's not even about the likes for me or anything. It's, like, it's strictly the fact that, like, I'll get on there and just start seeing all this stuff, and I just get depressed. I'm like, dang, like, this cat got murdered today. Like, that's crazy. And like, I'm just like, and I get sad about it. And then it's just, like, it's too much. It's like sensory overload. Like, I just get overwhelmed and then I can't stop looking at it. So I just get more.
So you're a cat dad?
No, I'm a dog dad.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
I mean, well, I everyone else
think of social media.
Cats.
Yeah. Think of cats.
Oh, no, I think of dogs.
I think of cats because like that was the YouTube thing back in the day. It's all like the cat video.
Yes, the cat's playing the piano.
My dog is very memeable. Maybe I should start a meme page on him.
Yeah.
He has very like facial expressions.
Does he?
Yes. He'll like do head tilts and he'll get upset. Like he's like, it's very expression. It's funny. But yeah, I'm a dog, man. I got a lab, yellow lab. He's turning 8 in February.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
He's old. It's all white in the face now. And dog years is as old as my dad. I joke with him like you guys are old guys now.
See, that's the funny thing. Like when it compares like a dog to a human, it's like, wait, you really are as old as my dad now.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing.
He's like, got like disappointment looks at me now. He's just like,
man,
like dog, come on.
I saw how late you got home last night.
Like, I know you weren't just working. Sniffing me up and down. Like, my shoes. Like, where have you been?
So, jumping back into topic, because this always happens. You helped open up the Cryptid Bar, and I went in, tried a few drinks, and that's where we shot one of our How to Make a Sidecar videos. How was that experience? Did you were, because like for a young, I mean, quote unquote, young bartender to start and have to like help come up with drink ideas and put things together. How was that?
I really, really enjoyed that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did not enjoy like the managerial side. I think it definitely opened an idea for me of like where I like what I want to do in the future. Like I really want to get into consulting work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but like I also realized I would never want to manage a bar. Yeah. Unless I owned that thing, you know, but it was interesting. For me, it was like, it literally just fell in my lap. Cause it was like I said, it was supposed to be an in-between job until Starly needed me more. And they were like, hey, we got to open this bar in 2 weeks. Can you do it? And I was like, yeah, I'll try my best. Like we need a menu and everything, blah, blah, blah. So we got everything set up and like got the bar arranged how we wanted it to be and like put a new sink in all whatever. But yeah, it was interesting. I definitely felt like underqualified, and I was. but no, I was like, you know, this is an opportunity. I can shoot my shot, and if I fail, whatever, I learn something. And it's very seldom you get to do things like that, and you don't have to use your own money. So
right,
that's my. I'm a big. I like the idea of that. You know, if I can like try something new, and if I fail, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose my money. Right. you know, but it was success though. Like it's going hard. Like Cryptid's great. So that the Zach and Alan do a great job over there.
What I like about what you were saying too is. The other reason why I think owners do that with people, that give a lot of leeway to people that aren't going to lose any money, is you get a lot of expression out of someone. And like you probably don't feel as restricted. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need to make sure my old fashioned tastes like every other old fashioned. Like you have a little bit more freedom to kind of try what you want.
Exactly. And that was the thing too. Like it was a big, my biggest obstacle was like learning the demographic. And it's like, you just don't realize it until you have to, but it's like you have to figure out what people are drinking. Like there are like certain demographics of drinkers. Like I just didn't even realize that until now. And it's like you have these like, you know, like older folks are like, yeah, let me get my Malibu and Coke. And then some people are just like, I want you to make me something with this, 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 and this. And you're like, oh, wow. But yeah, so
I saw this on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, how do I make this like this really cool like cocktail bar, but it's not too sophisticated to where it's very inviting, but also kind of keep people interested. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the things I learned that I really want to like look more into is like that learning your demographic of drinkers and how do you tailor that like business side, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was really interesting for like menu creation.
I was wondering about that. Cause I remember, yes, I sit at the bar a lot. Yeah. I don't always drink, but I do sit at the bar a lot. And I remember when you were coming up with these concepts, my brain, cause I've been going back and forth trying to think of something fun to do, something new to do. And I was like, how are you coming up with these ideas? Do you like, cause you've made drinks and concepts. What is your process? Like, do you start with the liquor first or are you like, this is the flavor I'm shooting for?
So my brain is all over the place. So,
okay.
I contributed most of it to like cooking. So my mom would always cook growing up. I would be in the kitchen with her. And then when I got to college, I was super poor. So I would just like buy groceries and cook all the time. My friends would come home. We'd be a little wasty. And then I would just get in there and just make food. And awesome. Then I would just like realize like what I had. So it was like these different weird flavors. I was like, oh, that goes great together. And, you know, cooking, you're not really measuring anything. You're just like whipping it up. So I contributed to that pretty much. I think, I don't know where it started, but like when I'm making things, like it just makes sense to me in my brain. Like it's like almost like, you know, when you do something for so long, it's just, you're just like good at, you don't know why, but I guess it's just like a conglomerate of everything you've done in the past.
Yeah.
I think it's like that. I don't know. Earnest Money helped me a lot too. Cause there it was like the main thing for that was most people would just come in and be like, I want tequila Saint Germain. And I want to feel like I'm drinking on a beach. You had to make them something brand new. So it was like a lot of that was like probably 60-70% of the drinks was I was constantly making something on the fly.
Oh wow!
Right there. So it was like, on a busy night, you know, I had 8 drinks lined up. 6 of those were probably going to be like, I have to make those in 30 seconds or less, you know? So it's like, I think that a lot of it was that too. So for me, that's a strong suit where I think a lot of other, what do you mean? Like people, other bartenders are way better at me than other things, but I'm okay at that. It's something I want to get better at.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay at it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very, like, it's interesting.
I enjoy that.
Cause you started in like a busier process. I feel like Mana and Earnest Money are like busier locales versus like, I know some bartenders who started in like the classic like dive bars or strip malls where it's like, hey, do I really need to learn how to make anything besides like the classic, hey, can you make me a rum and coke?
Yeah. And that was the thing too, is like before that, my experience was like dive bar, beer, all that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn more cool stuff. But when I got hired at Mana, it was during COVID. So it was just me and Fred behind the bar for several months. It's like, I got that extra attention to where I was like, everything that was happening, I was like, just on the spot, like throwing the wolves kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that helped me learn like very, very quickly. So yeah, I think I think that like year of just like expedited learning. Right. I think it helped you.
Which is interesting.
One of the reasons why I was excited to bring you on kind of along those same lines is like, if you go to like the normal like dive bar or college bar or whatever, you mm-hmm. have like the college guys and girls over there that they're like, oh, I'm just doing this like to make a few extra bucks. So I always love talking to someone who wants to make like a career out of bartending, because I don't think as many people realize you can.
I'm always really hard on myself too. So I guess until recently, I was always beat myself up. I'm like, oh my God, dude, is this really what I want to do with my life? And then I got Kaylee helped me get into Camp Run Amok.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So out in Kentucky, they basically apply. I think there was like 5,000 applicants for the session that I went to in fall or spring. And I think only like 250 got in.
Oh my
God. I don't think it was me. Kaylee said, she's like, you deserved it. You did good.
You did deserve it.
I think she got me in there. but yeah, so I went and they take all these steroids. Everything's paid for. And they had like a James Beard chef come in and cook us food every day.
Wow.
It was sick. But it was called Camp Crescendo. So it was all like music camp. And it was exactly what you think it would be. it's like, you know, just like shitty cabins but all bartenders from around the world and country and like everyone, like the best. And I realized how like underqualified I was until after, and like seeing everyone else's Instagrams, I'm like, oh. I was like, these people are serious. Yeah. But that's when I realized, I was like, oh, right. Dude, I can do anything with this. And they have like all these different programs and stuff that they can take you like to Mexico to like see the distillation process of mezcal and stuff. So
Wow. Yeah,
so it's like, now that you're like, when you get in that thing, you realize that there's all these events. And I went to BCB right after too, which is the Brooklyn Bar Convent.
And you just realize, so much fun.
We're going next year. You guys have to go. Put it on your calendars. Right. It's so much fun. And there's like just all this free swag and stuff too. And you just drink for free and try all these cool products. But it also makes you realize that there's just so much more out there. Like North Carolina is like the bare minimum of what you can get.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I like you said, back to the, I'm getting off track. Like what you're saying, like you can make a career out of it for sure. And you realize like you buy these jobs like at distillers and stuff later too. So you can be like a brand representative. Right. You could be going to the distillery and work. And that's kind of like, I realized that, oh, it's not just me behind the bar, you know, making whatever, but it can't be more.
It's like, I never thought of it like that, but like the correlation between a good bartender and a good like sales associate are very similar. Like
if they have it in common.
Yeah. Cause you're learning, you help people out and you're trying to learn stuff to help people have a great experience. Yes. And I feel like, as a good bartender, trying to go to these schools and these like camps and like just getting to learn more about these brands will make you a lot better versus the guy who's just like, hi, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, even the great
Michelob Ultra.
Yeah. I'm like, even the great right. dive bar people who like only know your order. I'm like, are they trying to learn more to like expand your horizons? Like, yeah, I know you drink a Mick Ultra every day, but like, guess what? We tried this. Came in. Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Something new? Like,
I think it goes back to like the demographic of drinker too. So it's like some people like it's almost like, well, how do I relate this to something else? It's basically like watching TV, right? Mm-hmm. So you want it. It's like some people want to be like, I want a very well thought out show. Okay. I want it to be like every season to just compound each other. I want character development in the beginning, and some people are just like, I want to watch reality TV.
Yeah.
I want to see the exact same episode and drama every freaking time. You know? Okay. I think it's just what people want, you know?
That's a good point too, because even the same person can have, like, you know what? I'm going to go to the same dive bar where they know when I sit down, I'm just going to have a Yingling in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, people need different things. I don't know what their life is like. I'm not going to judge them, but me personally, I'm bougie. We like to sit down and have a sidecar, but you know, Tony might want a Tim Michelob Ultra, so it's cool.
Right.
I like those things. I never really thought about like there. You go to some bars and you're like, well, I'm going to get the same thing. And then you go to other spots and you try something new. But I think that was the great thing about us starting the podcast. And then like the Starling opening is it opened my mind to the thought process of like trying new things.
Yeah.
Like like I also learned to be more respectful of the bartenders.
They'll let you know.
Because in my head, I always thought it was like the cool thing to be like, hey, can you make me a drink? And the bartender's looking at you like,
details.
You showed up on a Friday, Saturday night. Do you have any preferences? And so like in my head, I'm like, well, that makes sense. Like if I show up and if I don't know what I want, we're like, hey, can you make me a whiskey drink that's like bourbon forward? And then I'm like, okay, cool. Or, hey, I like tequila. Can you make me a drink? Giving a little bit of information goes so much further and gets you a better drink typically.
It does always. You're like, and it's whatever you want. It's like the more descriptive you are.
Yeah.
The better the artist can work.
Which right. reminds me. So like when we were chatting during like our episode, like with the sidecar and everything, we were talking about like the transition of like cocktails and like less alcoholic or less alcohol forward and non-alcoholic drinks.
Yes.
So my question to you is, like, what would be like your favorite not super alcohol forward drink that you make?
So there's this drink that Jeff Taylor it's one of his like forever ago. He used to bartend around here a lot. I think he's at Mana right now, actually, for a little bit. But it's called the Orange Julius, and it is sherry, Amaro Monti, Amaro Averna, like orange juice, lemon, ginger, honey. I feel like I'm forgetting something too, but it's like, it's just a bunch of Amaro. It's super low ABV, but it's like, it's good for your tummy kind of thing. You know, if you have an upset stomach or something like that, it's like perfect.
Tastes delicious.
It is too easy to drink. That's and a little soda on top. It's so good. It's in a highball. And it's just like, it's great. Yeah. It's a good one. That'd be like my like ideal low ABV. It's like super low ABV, but
it still has enough.
Yeah, you're not drinking like a straight up boozy drink or anything.
Yeah.
It's lower than like all the other cocktails for sure.
Okay.
I'm super interested in the future of doing like more like non-alcohol. I want to get into like adaptogenic. Is that how you say it? Adaptogenic?
It's something. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's really interesting too, because it's getting like super big now. And if you can be like one of the first like forefront people to be like, hey, like I'm the guy who can make the best cocktails that are non-alcoholic, the world is your oyster at that point.
Wilmington's a blank canvas right now.
Right, exactly.
that's why I'm like really intrigued, because I was like, oh man, I need to move. And I got this job with Kaylee. She probably like scooped me off the street, which is great. So appreciative for that. And I was like, you know, there's not a lot going on. There's like a scene like up and coming.
Yes.
But I feel like what they're doing is like going to be huge. So I think it'll put us on the map a little bit. So I think I'm happy to be in the spot that I'm at this time. So I can do things like that, especially now that I made the networking at camp and everything and like met a bunch of cool people.
Yeah.
I think that we can make something cool in Wilmington, like other cities. Yeah. I think that's going to be a big component of like, of having a growing city too, is like having that nightlife and the food industry and the drink industry that make white people want to come and like actually have a good time and try new things. And if I can contribute to that, I would love that.
See, and like you're saying, like Wilmington is growing, and for years, cause I've grown up here, I've lived here my whole life. And the goal was like, all right, so you're here for now. Where are we going next?
Yeah.
And Wilmington has grown so much that it's becoming a destination for a lot of people. But I do definitely think that everyone should leave their hometown for at least 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And learn something new.
I agree. And I love my hometown. Don't get me wrong. And now that I've left it, like, I haven't lived there in so long, but I visit my mom and dad a lot. But I appreciate it so much more now.
Right.
Because it is so quiet and small. It's like when I get there, it's like, it's just serene. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to build a house here one day.
Right.
What's like
if I'll ever be able to, who knows? But,
It's like if you left here and went to Charlotte and you're like, okay, Charlotte's busy, has a good vibe, and you can learn a lot from the bartenders there. Or if you want to take a big jump, you move to like Chi-Town or like New York or something, D.C.
That's what I'm thinking. Like after I moved to Wilmington, I would be here for a little while with Kaylee, but That's what I want to go somewhere big. I think I have to. I think I have to do at least a year in like a big city and just like, I did it.
Well, and you learn so much. Like if you move from here, you're like coming from one of the top bars in the town. You want to go somewhere where you can learn. So when you come back, you're like, hey, I learned so much. Like, here's what I would love to add. And like a good manager is going to like take your thought process and be like, okay, you know, I see what you're doing, and trying to help you grow as well as help themselves grow from learning from you.
Right.
Have you met Brian Pratt over at Flying Machine at Wrightsville Beach?
I don't think so.
I think you guys would really hit it off and enjoy talking and stuff too. So he lived out in Charlotte for a while, helped make the cocktail menus at a few bars and nightclubs and stuff over there. And now he does he's actually the beverage director at Flying Machine at Wrightsville Beach.
Oh, super cool.
So yeah, and he does some of the consulting and bar building and stuff too. So I feel like you guys would extremely hit it off.
I might have to go pop in one day.
Yeah. He's a super cool guy.
That's what I wanted. I just think it'd be so cool. I mean, like, I think like, end goal would be, as far as like the career in cocktails goes or in bartending, would be like, I want to have it like a open sourced consulting business. So it's like, hey, we can do, because I have a little bit of a graphic design background too. So I think it would be cool if I could have like a whole package thing. It's like, hey, like, okay, you're Indiana, for example, some city out there, like, hey, we want to build a business. Like, oh, I know a couple bartenders out there or near that area that know like how people drink or like know the demographic and how people act and everything in the bar scene. Have them like, you know, pay everybody else, pay them out of like how they want to do that. Make sure like they have it so it's like tailored to the area.
Yeah.
And then have like a board of like other bartenders that like, one, like everything can be remote. It doesn't have to be like edit, like where we're at kind of thing. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. That'd be neat.
Have like a whole package, like do your menu, design, web design, you know, like come in, train your staff, like tell you what we think we would need you to have.
Kind of like
it's their paycheck together.
A better version of Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Except like we're not on TV.
Yeah. Well, like that concept is really cool. And
yeah.
I'm like, all right, I mean, it makes sense, but you're right. Like every demographic is different. You can't show up and be like, okay, all of you bartenders have to know how to make a proper rum and coke. I'm like, well, technically you should know how to.
Yeah, that's easy. Everyone should know how to do that. But it's like, I'm not going to know how people drink in Wisconsin. Like people put olives in their old fashions up there. I would turn my nose at that. Yeah, for real. You should look up all the different variations of old fashions in Wisconsin. It's insane. There's like a ton.
Sir.
like it's weird.
I don't it trust gets weird. The Midwest.
Well, I think they just got left alone out for so long.
Yeah, but like
when all you have is a olive out there and you can't find an orange because you're so far away from Florida, you just do it.
I mean, Chicago came out with Malort, so
true.
Like I don't trust I don't trust the Great Lakes states. How about that?
Yeah, they're like, all we have is this sweaty sock.
Yeah. I'm like, let's distill it.
I don't totally trust Ohio or Michigan or Wisconsin or Illinois. Like
weird.
You know what's making some weird
interesting place? Like North Dakota.
Never been there.
It's so weird. I mean, it's not weird. It's just like
it's different.
It's so different. Also, some of those beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. Like really? It's like super cute accents too. They're like, oh hi, how you doing? Hey,
what's up? I've been to South Dakota because we were there for training years ago, and I'm like, okay, cool, I know South Dakota. But I'm like, that's it. I was there for like a week. I don't remember. I was there for a little bit.
Okay.
But not in the city. So I was just sitting out there. I woke up in the middle of like some national park because that's where we were staying. I looked. I'm like, oh, there's some bison.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
And it walked apparently like right behind our tents and like took a poop. And I'm like, I was within 20 feet of dying. Because like if you walked out and weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
They'll run you over.
Yes.
Yeah. They have that. When I went, they had a... an albino one.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. It was really old. And then we found out like 2 years later, because we'd met these two girls on spring break. It was like forever ago. And they were like, you should come up here. So we went up there and visited them. And then like 2 years later, she texted me. She was like, hey, the albino bison died. I was like, oh, no.
So depressing.
It was.
Thank you for the random message.
Yeah, I know. It was like, I haven't thought about that in forever, but. That's just funny.
I haven't talked to you in 3.5 years, but thanks for letting me know about that albino.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
I'm going to steal Chris's question here real quick. So with everything you have going on in the bar industry and where you'd like to go, what does success look like for you?
Success? Man. In the bar industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think success for me long term, or like, what do you, are you thinking about like right now?
Like next 5 years.
Next 5 years, success to me would look like helping the best I can where they need me at Starling and Ibis, and creating something. I think it'd be cool if we get James Beard Award.
That'd be pretty sick.
I'm going to add that on there. That's going to be on my goals list.
Yeah.
I got, might have to talk to the gang about that. Maybe we
can make it happen. I mean,
the Ibis definitely has a,
yeah,
just because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have potential. I actually didn't know that you get a James Beard Award for a bar.
Mm-hmm. You can. Yeah. I looked it up the other day.
Yeah.
Well, like, mm-hmm. I think that definitely on there. We got an all-star lineup over there right now. So I think it's possible. We're going to make it happen. Anyway, but that for sure, bartending 1 year, at least 1 year in a big city, and then having a strong foundation for a consulting business.
Yeah.
And like have it to where like I feel comfortable enough that I can bartend like 2 days a week and then the rest of the week focus on that.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
And buy land and houses.
Right.
So I can help everybody.
I don't need multiple houses.
I want to give everybody money.
A lot of land and like one big house.
Rental properties. Yeah.
Well, see, my thing is like, it's not even like, I want to help like do affordable housing. Like if I can buy land and make money off of it, or like just have it and like help other, I think that would be like the end goal.
But yeah, right.
I don't know. That'd be so cool to have like, I don't know, just like have like very sustainable, like I would like to learn how to garden really well and just like have it. Cause to where like, I could like maybe like buy like affordable housing and then have like a garden kind of area where people can have food and just like pay somebody to maintain it. And then like, I don't know, I think it'd be cool.
Be intriguing.
But that's very like far fetched.
We know some people.
One of my friends actually went and got his master's degree, and that's exactly what he wants to accomplish too.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Cause I just feel like people don't get a good break, man. Like, you know, it's like, it's, if you have all your bases covered, like, hey, I have fresh, clean food on the table every night, the things that I need to survive, it's like that's such a big burden off your chest. And you can focus on the things that you need to focus on to make yourself better and to help your little corner of the world be sane.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
Excuse me.
Shoot.
Sorry. I got hit. So, because we're coming up on the good times, I got a question. Since Tyler stole mine, I'm going to steal his. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Hitting with the big questions at the end.
Yeah, that's a big one. What would I tell myself?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, don't focus so hard on trying to figure out what you're trying to do and be right now. Enjoy what you have and focus on learning self-discipline.
I like that one a lot.
That's funny you guys to ask that question, because literally just like last night I was sitting there like journaling and I was like, man, I've spent a lot of my younger 20s really just like stressing myself out, being like, I have to like meet all these goals and make all this money and do all this stuff. And I'm realizing it's like, money's not really, I mean, like that's a byproduct of your own like diligence and success anyway. I mean, it's necessary, but it's like, that's not the focus. Like you need to focus on purpose, and it's like that the rest of everything else will come. And I think like in my early 20s, I was just like so focused on like trying these different avenues and just like really just stressing myself out for like what, when I could have been enjoying myself a little more, you know, or like, I mean, I had fun, don't worry, but you know, but I don't know. I think just calming down and realizing that there are right now is okay.
Yeah. I like that a lot. There was actually a mental toughness forum that I was watching. It was like a virtual forum of some of the most successful people in the United States right now. And they were talking about very similar things that you were just talking about there, where it's not about your one and only goal making all of this money, but if you can find something that you love and enjoy to do that's providing value to others, you'll just automatically receive that byproduct. Because if you have something that's worthwhile to give and you love doing it, it's naturally going to come to you.
It is. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like a lot of that will attract community. And
yeah,
I'm also realizing you can't do it by yourself either.
Right.
You have to have that team behind you. I think as a culture, we've kind of promoted individualism to a point where it's like, you think like the only way you can be successful or find purpose is if like you do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's not true. Like for all of history, like you look at everything, like anyone that's ever done anything, they have a team of people with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for, if you act off of what do my people need instead of like my own ego, like that's, everyone's loyal to each other. And like, that's how you build stuff. I think that's from my own research and what I've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris and I are actually coming out with a summit later in the year that's called Build Your Community Summit.
Yes.
And we're going to bring a bunch of people together that have built communities in one way or another and just promote the importance of having people around you.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, build more communities, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to do this together.
Yes. You know it.
So
I have a question for you guys.
Okay. Chris is just looking at me like a deer in headlights.
I know. I was about to care?
No, I had like four things going through my head, like back to back to back. Send it.
Okay, cool. So my question for you is, so you're at the dive bar. It's 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. What is your go-to dive bar drink?
Jameson and ginger.
Nice. Solid.
Yeah.
He's so much nicer than me. I've realized that dive bars typically underprice their whiskey. So I'm just going to be like, can I get a pour of like whatever that top shelf whiskey is?
Yeah. Smart.
You have to be careful though, because some of them will be like, oh, hey, I think this is expensive. And they'll like charge $40 for a pour of Eagle Rare. So,
I've been to quite a few lately because me and Tyler talked about this the other day. And I walk in, I'm like, you guys have like Elijah Craig barrel proof sitting here?
Yeah.
How much is that? And they're like, $8.
It's like, that's the regular Elijah Craig. Craig
Can
price.
I get a double that dusty bottle of E.H. Taylor in the corner there?
Yes.
It hasn't been touched in 2 years.
So, yes, I always ask before, but if I'm legit, like, sitting at a dive bar all night, I'm probably drinking, like, rum and coke or just a regular, like, I have learned, I have to say, bourbon ginger, not just a flat whiskey ginger.
They'll give you whatever.
You're right.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way.
And, like, I've had this ginger ale open for 5 hours. Right. You're going to drink it.
It's so flat. It won't dead. Should have passed better.
That's a good one.
See? What do you order?
Me? Miller High Life, baby. Okay. If they have it, for sure. I like a Miller High Life. I don't know. If probably like, if I have Campari, I'll do Campari and soda.
Okay.
But most people don't.
Yeah.
So like,
probably almost, not a dive bar.
Huh?
Probably not a dive bar.
Probably not a dive bar. Some of them do, though.
Really?
Just have it. I don't know what it is. Like,
because Beth does a great job.
She does, yeah. She's out there hustling. I went out, dude. She gave me some like bar mats and stuff for Cryptid. And she's just like, we met at Luna Cafe. And she's like, come out to my car. I'm like, are we about to sell drugs? Right. She pops her trunk and she's just like looking around. She brings all these mats and stuff. And I was like, thanks. But she's really doing her thing out there. Yeah. So I love Beth. She's great.
She's a goober.
She is a goober.
I'm going to give every listener here the best advice that I can give them listening to a whiskey podcast. Make sure you find yourself a very good best friend that is a liquor rep.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make all your dreams come true.
Yes.
Yeah. You get a bunch of free shit.
Or to save you some time, just use Sway Creations to make all your podcast activities and social media things look so much better.
Shameless plug.
It's not even shameless. It has made the life so much better. Like if people looked at us, because like we've been around, we're at a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Like Tyler just typed, like we're slow at life. And we finally put together how many episodes we've done. Done 80 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. And tried over 60 different whiskeys.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I think too, it's like a lot of times you guys have a pretty good following right now too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that's, and thanks again for bringing me on.
Yeah.
I feel blessed. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of times it's like once you have that base of like of just doing it for so long, you guys have the experience now. It's like any minute it's going to get bigger, you know. Yes. It just happens. Everything I've seen, like it's like it happens overnight kind of thing. So you just got to keep doing it. Consistency.
And to keep from burning out, that's literally why we had to do Sway. Because we hit a point where Tyler was working way too much and then doing all the social media. And I'm like, thank you for doing all that. But I have no concept of how to make any of these posts. And we linked up with them and they were like, we got you.
Yeah. It makes it nice too. Cause before we're just like, oh, I need to do something today. Like, here you go, throw it up there. And now people are like, oh my gosh, your Instagram looks really nice. And I'm like, I've had nothing to do with that. But thank you.
That's that too. It's like, having a social media presence is so important now. Mm. I think I'm going to take a big sabbatical and come back and like do like
just
something.
Go ham.
And you know, actually, then This, I'm not plugging Sway because, like, it's who we work with, but I kind of am.
Plug them out, dude. Like I said, community, we got to help each other.
Right. But they actually, how they originally got started was working with gamers and helping them build their social media presence.
Interesting.
But, like, now that I was thinking about it and you saying that, I'm like, bartenders that are trying to gain social media presence is very similar to, like, that gaming aspect. Like, it has the same type of, like, culture and vibe and stuff to it. That I think it makes a lot of, like, an easy transition.
It does. Like someone like Beck, but she works over Estrada too, like Beck Frazier, but she was talking about that one day and it made sense to me. She's like, she does that, but people come to see her. You know what I mean?
Right.
She'll be like, cause she posts stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's kind of that's your brand. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, like I'm out here doing today slinging tiki drinks, you know? And people are like, oh, I like that. And I like Daniel. I'm going to go get a tiki drink today.
There's definitely been times I wasn't planning on drinking. I'm like, oh shit. Like so-and-so's at the bar today. Like, oh, they're doing this. Like, okay, I'll swing by real quick.
Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, super I definitely, cool. Like I legit love all the bartenders over there. And so it depends on the day. If I'm like, you know, I'm in a feisty mood and I look up and it's like, Bex and Dana are working. I'm like, yep, I'm going to show up because I'm going to look at Danny and be like, surprise me. and he'll come. He'll bring it.
I'll do it. That's what I'm excited about. I have a swim. We're going to have so many things to play with. Like I feel like I'm burning out at Starling as far as like that goes. Like,
yes.
But you can make so many things. Like, wow. Yeah, I love Starling. It's so good.
It's great. But it is
just put
truly
a quarter in the little game thingy and you'll get whatever you get.
Yeah.
Yes, on Tuesdays.
Yeah, on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
You just keep it all the time for Chris and be like, anytime he asks, be like, quarter.
Oh, we got it.
You should.
Hey. I'm with it.
We might at the new bar.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Like, the Starling is truly a whiskey and wine bar. And so, like, you only have so much room for non-whiskey elements.
I kind of like those parameters, too, in a way. It's like, I want to have more to play with, but, like, also, I think when I really get creative, it's like, when it's like, hey, you have this. And I'll be like, I will make this. That's right. When it's like, I think a lot of the cool stuff happens.
Cool.
Because like, it's like, you gotta get weird.
Yeah.
Just like, how do I make this work?
Right.
Understandable.
Yeah.
So do you want to shout out any social media? Any bars? Anything?
Any bars? Wow. I want to shout out everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. So shout out, I guess, my Instagram. I guess I got to do that. Mm-hmm. Danny Phantom. And then I also want to shout out all my people at Starling. Go on there and check out their handles too, because I can't remember them off the top of my head. My brain don't work like that. Also follow Ibis, you know, where should be opening sometime, hopefully this year.
Well, contractors before, you know. December.
Yeah, before, hopefully. Yeah. So it's happening. Shout out Cryptid. Shout out Rooster and Crow. Shout out Mana, Earnest Money, Greenfoot Yacht Club. All of them. Go to Whiskey Trail. Get your cheap whiskey. They have some good ones there, Chris.
I know. It's just so far from my house.
It is. The Mason Bar Loop's a hike. I mean, for me, it's like with traffic, sometimes it's like 30 minutes.
I know. Yeah.
I put on like an audiobook and I just roll with it.
I live in Leland. People are like, oh, you like go out to Whiskey Trail sometime. I'm like, that'll take me a good hour. Like, if there's traffic.
There's one on Market too next to the Avalon Apartments, but it's not the OG.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the same.
It's technically the exact, it's like cookie cutter same, but it's like not the same.
Right.
Parking
is so much worse too.
Yeah.
Like there's zero parking.
There's like 20 spots, maybe. That's generous.
I showed up in the middle of the day and I'm like, where am I supposed to park? Because Avalon has so many like guaranteed spots.
Yeah. Also shout out Captain Bills. I did a volleyball league with everybody. It was so much fun. Everyone should go. I'm done now.
That's where everybody was on Monday when I was bartending.
Yeah.
Anyways, as you know, I am the Monday night bartender at Starling. Yes. They're closed.
Don't show up.
Please don't. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Follow us on all our social medias. Like, comment, share, subscribe. And please download all the episodes because that definitely helps.
That does help a lot. Subscribe for sure.
Do it.
Cheers.
Cheers.